Well, welcome back to another Restoring Home, where we talk about marriage, parenting, and faith. And today we have a very exciting subject. We're going to talk about homeschooling. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about homeschooling, a lot of opinions about homeschooling, a lot of feelings about it. And so we have three ladies with us today that we're going to interview who have experience with homeschooling. And so Allie, Rachel, and Donna are going to be our guests today, and I've asked them to come and just kind of tell us a few things about their experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly to go with it, and they also help with some resources, because at the end we're going to have a list available for people of some of the good resources that you found that they might consider as well for people who are not sure what to use for math or science or how to get started in those kind of things. Because I know for your experience in the beginning, it was intimidating. Mm-hmm. You didn't feel qualified, even though you were teaching a five-year-old. You weren't sure if you knew enough to teach a five-year-old anything, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit intimidating in the beginning. And then as you look at older kids, it certainly becomes more challenging. So you wonder, how long can I do it, or should I continue? Should someone else do those things? So a lot of questions come up. We're not trying to address all of those right now, but we do want to get a few. So Allie, we want to introduce you all to people who don't know you all very well. Many do. But Allie, tell us how many kids you have and about what grades they're in now and how long you've been schooling.
So I have three children that are in school, that we do school with, and a fourth grader, a second grader, and a kindergartner, and then I have a toddler as well, so four girls. Yes.
And so you're taking care of the toddler at the same time teaching the three classes, three levels.
Yep.
And you're here tonight.
Yes.
You don't look too frazzled or at all. You must be doing well.
I made it. Yes.
Good job. Good job. Rachel, tell us about your kids. How many do you have, and what are you doing with school?
We have five kids. Our oldest, this is our first year to put him into what we call real school. Mm-hmm. So he's going to a private local school there, and so that's our first time to do that. So he's 14, and then we have a fourth or fifth grader, and then a first grader or second grader, and a kindergartner, and then we also have a toddler. So one of the things with homeschooling is that kids can never quite answer what grade they're in.
Yeah.
Either can parents.
Yeah, I suppose you're kind of like fourth grader or
yeah.
Fifth grader.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. There's reasons for that.
They're in different.
Right, yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes they're like much higher skill level, and then other times you're, you know, playing catch up. But that's one of the benefits of homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So
good.
Not to jump ahead.
Did you start with your oldest from kindergarten?
I did.
You did. Wow. And you had never been part of homeschool before that?
I had not, no. We actually started homeschooling strictly out of necessity. Our mailing address was different than where we were living. We were living in a rental, and so the school district where we were living, we didn't want to send him to, and we weren't going to drive him to the school district where our mailing address, or like our physical home was. And and it's kindergarten, so I was like, we can do this. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. And we were at that time really involved with a community that was very pro-homeschooling. So there was a lot of support in making that decision right off the bat. So we kind of fell into it circumstantially, but it's stuck.
Okay. Donna, tell a little bit about our experience.
Okay, well, ours was, you remember, we had just returned from Kenya. And I'll tell you guys because he knows this story. We had just returned from Kenya, and we had a four-year-old and an almost five-year-old and a two-year-old, almost three. And we were just like, I wasn't ready to put him on the bus. And it was a really long road and a 20-minute drive, and I was just like, I can't do it. But also, he had some kind of learning difference. I didn't know what it was, but I was excited because my mom had sent me a book called, I think it's called Better Late Than Early, or it was about homeschooling, and she had heard about it on Focus on the Family. And so she had sent those to me because we thought we were going to be raising our kids in Kenya, but then we had to return. And so when we returned unexpectedly, I had those books, and I thought, I'm going to read that. Mm-hmm. And it just gave me the confidence, and then I got connected with a homeschool group. So that's how how I got started and when I got started. Boy, that was 1990. Daniel's 37, so, I don't know, 35 years ago? Mm-hmm. No, not 35 years ago, 32 years ago. 32 yeah. years of homeschooling.
And she taught them math, and they all passed.
I know. I don't know how they did that.
And we have five children, and they all went through homeschool. You taught them all from kindergarten through. They all graduated yeah. from college. Three of them have master's degrees now. And
Josh hasn't gone to college, but
yeah, one is deciding.
He's taken college classes and yeah. done well. But.
Yeah, he's just deciding to go a different route. But
so it's an experiment.
Yeah, it is.
But he's a lifelong learner, so he's, yeah. I can see he's
the kids
really
love
studying
to learn.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
And they do their own. They do their own study. They love learning. Mm-hmm. So, and as Donna said, one of our children, the oldest one, was dyslexic. We found out later on, and had a tough time learning, and would have been in special education level classes all the way through. But instead, because of homeschooling, we're going to talk a little bit about why we decided to do homeschooling. For us, one reason was Donna thought, I don't think he really needs to be in special education, but he needs special attention to learn how to cope with this dyslexia
yeah.
and learn some ways to get through it. He'll need the focused attention. So she worked with him, and he now has almost two master's degrees. He has one in family theological studies and almost a second one in family counseling. So yeah. You know, he got over the hurdle. He learned how to cope. He got there. But it was because this was a helpful tool for him in particular. But all our kids have done well.
Yeah.
Why, and we ask you, why is it, what are motivations? Because we're not trying to say this is the only way to go. I know none of you, I know you all were a little bit nervous about giving that impression when I said come and talk with me, or come and talk about this, that you were thoughtful that maybe other people will think we're promoting ourselves or we're promoting this as a superior thing, and that's not the case. But it is a good option in many cases, and it is a productive option. Mm-hmm. And mothers don't need to be intimidated, or dads, to be intimidated to try it. Mm-hmm. So our purpose here is to say, don't need to be intimidated, and there are good reasons to give it a shot if they fit with you. And if so, then we want to give you some encouragement and give you some of our stories and some starter, a guide of where to start. So that's the purpose of what we're doing here. So I mentioned one about Daniel's dyslexia. How we got started. What are some of what got you decide to do? You've mentioned you did it because of your location.
Yeah, it was circumstantial at the very beginning, but as we've done it for longer, we've realized, especially in elementary years, your children are with their teacher for more hours than they are with you as a parent. Mm-hmm. And so unless you want to make sure that parent has similar theological worldview, morals that you want your children to grow up with, you're going to have to invest a lot in being in that classroom with that teacher or discussing and processing what they're coming home with from that learning experience, just because that teacher is actually giving your child so much influence, intentionally or unintentionally. It's just going to happen because of the amount of time that they're spending together. So as we realized that and processed more, we just realized we wanted to be the ones that had that influence in our kids. And it's much easier to do when they're with us at home all the time.
Great. Allie, what about you guys?
Well, I guess what I'm hearing you guys say, and I feel the exact same way, is why we started homeschooling, maybe in the beginning, maybe our motivators to start us homeschooling kind of have changed over the years and kind of developed and grown and stuff. So when I first decided to homeschool, it had a lot to do with I struggled so much in school. And I just, you know, I kind of was just amongst the masses, but just really drowning, you know, and I wasn't the same as everybody else on the same level, you know, I really struggled. And so I didn't want my kids to feel that way. I wanted them to just be themselves and learn at the pace that they were going to learn at, and then and see their weaknesses and walk alongside them. So I kind of looked at it as that kind of opportunity. To be able to do that. And as I've homeschooled, now I feel like, gosh, there's so many other benefits. And I love homeschooling because You know, we can just, when we have a stressful week, we can just say, let's take a day off and just go de-stress and, you know, kind of press the reset button as a family. Or a new baby comes into the family, so you can take a break then. I know some people that they get their schoolwork done all up till the baby's due. And so then they can just take a nice long sabbatical and stuff. So you just have so much flexibility. And as we celebrate the holy days, you know, we can take off for those and not feel guilty or behind. Or there's that benefit, and the benefit of growing our family together in what we believe, building a strong foundation for our children, and just focusing on their character and focusing, and it grows us too. That's super cool. So why do we homeschool? There's just a million reasons. But yeah, and I think that my original heart, it still is true, is that I can look at each one of my kids and see their weaknesses and walk alongside them in those, and they don't have to compare themselves to others, or they can just say, well, let's figure this out, and we say, let's figure this out together. You're having a hard time here, you know, and just practicing different ways of learning to see what they need best. So it's a really neat thing.
I agree.
So much of when we think about education in this country, I think we've lost our focus, and it's become bigger than it is. It's bigger, a bigger idea or a bigger concept. It's like this thing that's huge. And what you're doing as mothers is you're trying to help your children learn how to read, how to write, how to reason, how to do mathematics, and how to, and you're trying to help them learn some history and science. There are things, these are skills, basic tools that they will need in their lifetimes in order to go out and earn a living, take care of family, take care of themselves, and help others. So these are basic skills. They'll go for higher education later on, where others will give them that, or they'll find it in their own ways. And so you're trying to give them the basics. That's what education is about. At the same time, what I'm hearing you talk about is, you guys talk about, is morals and character and
it's like
family.
Worldview.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So, and in today's society, in the West here, we are, this is, this second part is very attractive because of the changing nature of the education system in which a certain values, character, morals, beliefs, and structures are in place, which are not what would be most beneficial for our children or wanted by parents. And so it's a great, it's an increasingly, the reason for homeschooling, teaching your children how to read, write, and do mathematics and so forth, is even more attractive because of the changed nature of education, of the emphases in education in our country. So it's very, that's why this, I told you before we got started, it made you nervous when I said this, but this is really an important conversation we're having here for those reasons. When people are thinking about this, newcomers or people just, I don't know if I should do this or not, what are one or two or three things, the top things that you would tell others that they should consider when thinking about teaching their kids at home? So you can tell them the downside, the upside, but kind of here are the things that I would say, be sure to think through these things or consider these things. Who wants to go first? Good, Rachel. Thank you. I just volunteered you.
One of the biggest things that I have come into knowing is that if the teacher, who is me, mom, doesn't want to do it, it's not going to happen. And so if it's a curriculum that I don't understand or don't like, or if it's like it, by its very nature, isn't something that I enjoy, it's not likely to happen. So I have worked hard to find ways to get around that, because I can't just say, oh, I don't like to teach math, we don't need to do that. But I can say, I'm not confident in my math teaching skills, so there are resources that I can set up for each of my children that really take me kind of out of the picture. They can do on their own. So there's free resources, there's paid curriculums, there's video-based things, there's online things, or it's I have a child who just loves workbooks, and as long as I get him the next workbook, he just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a blessing. Mm-hmm. But if it's not something that I'm crazy about, I'm not going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So conversely, if I'm excited about it or it's fun for me, that's where my children are going to want to come in mm-hmm. and join me in that, or mm-hmm. and we're going to want to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
For my family, that means we're in the kitchen or we're outside.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we do a ton of nature study, a ton of hiking. We're just outside and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And so much of our books that we read together, or they're reading and writing from, or the science we're studying, is all based on something we, you know, encountered in our life outside.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're in the kitchen cooking or canning or preserving mm-hmm. food or making dinner to serve a family or that kind of thing, even just serving our own family mm-hmm. by doing that. But mm-hmm. that's all things that I like to do,
mm-hmm.
and my children want to do that because mm-hmm. they see mom enjoying that,
mm-hmm.
and it's easiest for me to teach in those instances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I have learned to look for those situations or that kind mm-hmm. of curriculum or that study process
mm-hmm.
and use that in my family mm-hmm. to make schooling easier mm-hmm. or flow mm-hmm. rather than somebody gives me a curriculum and there's a bunch of boxes and I can't mm-hmm. check it all off and I'm overwhelmed and mommy isn't freaking out and okay, we're done with school today. Because yeah. I could just do that, you know, every yeah. day mm-hmm. if I'm taking on somebody else's curriculum mm-hmm. for me. Some people need that checklist and love that and thrive mm-hmm. on that. But when I tried to mm-hmm. do that, not much learning happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but there's two things there that's really, really wise. One is, if it's an area that you don't feel really excited about, you can go get another resource.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super. There's a lot of resources.
So many.
And there's some
so
really, really good
many.
Ones. Mm-hmm. And so let them use those things. That's good. Working within your wheelhouse, within your strengths, it's really, and you kind of alluded to this, that some families, like when the baby comes, then they kind of break for the baby, or the Moedim holidays, and they kind of break with that. Homeschooling is really a great way to, it can bend to fit your life.
It's flexible.
Yeah.
And so it can be outdoors, indoors, weather conditions. We're traveling this summer, we're working, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we, you know, we can learn math. And it integrates real life with the theory that we're, you know, this is how math is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
we really get to see it work out here with measuring cups of this and mm-hmm. that to make bread.
Yeah.
That
right.
kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So it's really a great way to really make it practical.
Mm-hmm.
And which can be exciting to see it work.
Mm-hmm. I just have one thing to consider mm-hmm. is the investment. That's what just kept coming mm-hmm. to my mind, investment, that this is, homeschooling is such a great investment of your time, of your resources. You know, you have to research. It can be really overwhelming. But the investment is so worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, it is worth mm-hmm. it for mm-hmm. your child's soul. It's worth it for your own soul because mm-hmm. you're growing and mm-hmm. learning right alongside. And mm-hmm. so I just, is it worth the investment? And I would say every time it totally is, you know, mm-hmm. but I think each family is so different and you have to look at that mm-hmm. investment and count the costs and mm-hmm. weigh out the costs and really consider,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the priorities, maybe things that you might have to give up to be able to mm-hmm. do
yeah.
homeschooling. You might have to give up dance class because you have to have that time, you know, and I mean, mm-hmm. you can do those things,
sure.
you
sure.
know, but I guess in that, like, you might have to give up some things to be able to do yeah. it as well, you know, so it mm-hmm. is an investment, but it's a life of learning, and, mm-hmm. and it's fun to be able to do it with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's like the funnest thing as a parent.
Yeah.
I think that's really a good point, to weigh the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcomes,
mm-hmm.
and so if you need this conversation is helpful in knowing, oh, looks like good outcomes. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not just getting the checks on all the papers and handing them in and grading and all that kind of thing. But there's really more to it. There's some interaction. Mm-hmm. There's some deep moral values and worldview that's being transferred here. And in creating a love for learning in the kids, not just, okay, I did it and I can go to the next grade. There are costs. There are emotional costs. There's preparation. There's time. There's thinking and planning and all that kind of thing. Some people have to decide, I've got to put aside a career or an income and make it on less. Dad may have to think, or if mom is doing the teaching, then dad's got to think about, some dads have to think about getting a part-time job somewhere. Mm-hmm. We got to weigh how that's going to affect family. So a lot to consider there. Yeah. But so you're going to have to sit down and think through it. But again, the outcomes are many. Did you want to say something
to
us
about it? Well, I was just thinking that some moms might think, oh, I can never do that. I'm so impatient with my kid. I could just never do that. You've probably met some moms like that.
Oh, yeah.
Just think, you're super special.
No,
and we know that we are not. Yeah. And that we have our days, which maybe we're going to get into that in a little bit. But if you really want to do it, right, you can. But you have to want to. Mm-hmm. You have to decide, this is what I think is good for me or us and our children. And so if you want to do it, you can do it. And that I want to encourage people in that, and not to just automatically think, oh, I could never do that. The other thing is that kids can learn at their own pace. We talked about that already. They can study what they love and learn all those things that you talked about, the science and the history and the math in the subject, in things
integrated
that they're already super interested in.
Yeah.
Mainly, I just love, one of the things I love the most and that I would encourage people to remember.
Do you have an example of that really quick, about how they can study within the
Let's
subject?
Let's say a child loves
Nature and outdoors.
Then that's what you go outside, you're studying, you're finding something, and then you, oh, look at that. What is that right there? And then you find out it's a nest, or it's a egg sac of some kind of insect, and then they go and research it, and then they can write a report on it. And we're going to be looking. You're going to go ahead and share that.
That's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
So we call that nature study. Mm-hmm. And so we're outside. We go for a hike. Somebody finds something. Or sometimes we are looking with intention. Like, we know we're going to this kind of a habitat, so we're looking for animals that live in that specific habitat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when we started off strong, there's a lot of homeschool moms that take all of their nature journal stuff and they do it out in nature. And that was just like a big fiasco for me. I had these expectations of my children sitting down on the boardwalk and like opening up their colored pencils or their watercolors and drawing these beautiful things and talking pleasantly. And the truth is that there's plants flying and there's children yelling and there's people trying to walk along the boardwalk, and it was a debacle. So we actually gather our information and use the phone and take, you know, pictures of different things. And we have different collection tools too sometimes that will like observe them there and then re-release them, come back home, and use all of our resources, our bug books, our anatomy stuff, our, you know, all these different things, habitats and
they're
what's
researching.
Local. They're researching, they're finding out, and even just plain old Google, you know, and Google images to see like male versus female and all that kind of stuff. And then we actually just, we nature journal it. So like, so this is my oldest boy's, and something that's super fun to see is like from the beginning, like all we have here is a picture and the name. And then here we go, here's a date and a drawing and facts about it and what they eat. And then, so it's just, you know, like lots of different information, and as they grow and mature, that what they're able to put down there changes.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten into the practice of doing that. You can see their skills, their actual drawing skills, or their attention to detail grow and change too.
So not only are they doing this, they're learning how to do that. So
right.
Then they can take that skill of learning how to research and
recording.
And they can apply that to another area of their life then. So you're giving them those skills, right?
Yeah. That's absolutely. Yeah. So this is like the core of how we do school. Mm-hmm. And it's not for everybody. That's one of the joys of homeschooling, is that what works for Allie and works really well for Allie or other homeschooling moms mm-hmm. isn't what works for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they could be totally intimidated to go out on a hike and bug. And this is like, how do you know what to draw? What if it's the wrong, you know, like, or all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And so being able to have the freedom in your own family, in your own homeschool journal mm-hmm. journey to say, this is what works for our family. This is what we're going to do. It's so cool that you do that.
Right.
I would love to maybe do that with you for like an hour.
But then being inspired, you know, talking to other homeschoolers mm-hmm. and being inspired by, like, when we go on hikes, we actually take little parts, you know, just little snippets. Like, I'm inspired by Rachel in that way, and maybe, you know, Megan in another way, and mm-hmm. Donna when I talk to her in other ways, and just having that community mm-hmm. of people to mm-hmm. talk to, be inspired by, but then to make it your own and say, this is what works for our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's really cool, because each family then makes it, mm-hmm. you know, their own, in your story, your daily life. So it's really cool.
Absolutely.
This is great. And we're running about out of time, but I'm going to make an executive decision here, and we're going to extend this one a little bit, okay? Because I know we're going to get some stories here, and we've got to hear these stories. They're going to be worth the wait. So, if you know, most people were finishing up about now, but we're going to add up another 10 or 15 minutes to this episode so that we can get these stories in there. Homeschooling has gotten in some circles and I'm saying this because you guys have talked about how the flexibility, and we can stop, have a baby, we can stop and take a break, or we can have these pauses and breaks that we can take. And some people get the impression that you're just being sloppy and lazy and kind of, you know, we don't really have to teach our kids. Yeah, stay in your pajamas all day and goof off. And people can, you know, people...
Every day.
People who do that do not have success with their kids, either educationally or just desire for learning. So that is not healthy. That would not be good parenting. That would not be good teaching to, mm-hmm. not that you can't learn in your pajamas, but there's something to order, regimen, discipline, routine, and getting things done, so being responsible. Mm-hmm. And of course, we are advocating, I'm sure, that, you know, you've got to put those in. Flexibility is a good trait. Mm-hmm. And so flexibility with responsibility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So follow through. In the end, your children are going to need to know whatever it is that go from grade 4 to 5 to 6 or within the standards of the government educational standards. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance they will surpass many of those because they will also gain these other attributes as well. Mm-hmm. So we're not advocating just kind of a laissez-faire, just whatever you want to do, if you want to do it, kind of thing at all. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot to be said for flexibility and fluidity and the inside, outside, some days or whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, so that said, not every day is a great day. There are days of disaster, I'm sure. You've mm-hmm. had one maybe by this time. So tell us a story. We'd love to hear stories here of when you thought something like, I'll never be able to do this, or I will never do this again, or I'm done. All right, what was a day of disaster where you just almost threw up your hands? Did you have one or something like that?
Mine were long ago, so let me think a minute.
Well,
I had days where nothing went right.
I know. Well, I just laugh at this question because it's like, well, I think just about every other day.
I'm pretty sure there's every day has an aspect that feels this way.
Yeah, that you think I'm done, just done. But I will never forget those days of nursing and shuffling around books with one hand while you're nursing, while you have one baby screaming, like a toddler screaming, and figuring out how to do all this, because it's usually your first one, maybe two, maybe three, you know, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. those are hard days, mm-hmm. and you just think, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. This is just too much, you know, this is just too much. So I don't know if there's like a specific day, but there's definitely times and seasons, and I know most recently, my youngest is a toddler, so she doesn't have any of her playmates because they're mm-hmm. all in school for a mm-hmm. section of the day.
So she'll just sit there and scream. And so I just know a lot of days recently, I'll just be yelling the lessons over her screaming, saying, can you still hear me? Can you still hear? Okay, let's continue on. And she's just screaming, and then she finally finds something to do. Yeah. So, yeah. Rachel, do you got anything? I mean, you've got some good stuff.
I feel like the days that are the worst are when I have the highest expectations of my children's abilities or performance or my own. Like, I want it to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then when that doesn't happen is when the biggest disasters come about. Mm-hmm. And so I can remember a time where I was, a lot of times I'll try and combine like our Torah portion lesson for the week along with a craft for multiple ages, you know, like 14 to 3. And look, you're already laughing.
One of the benefits.
Yes.
It doesn't always work.
No. You know, just trying to put all these different things together. And here, let's throw in some science into that as well. And so if I can find a craft that encompasses all these things, and some days it works really well. Well, this day was not working very well. And we were doing something with like salt dough, like salt play dough that you make, it's white and it's kind of like a clay and you roll it out and it was everywhere. Like everywhere. It was caked in their hair. It was, this will be fun. Let's roll different things in it to see texture and patterns, and then we'll cut those out and make like ornaments from those different molds, textures and molds. And then it was stuck in every single Hot Wheel car and the Legos. And
you paid for this craft for months.
I was pulling it out of the floor and the carpet and hair, and it was everywhere. And I was so like, my picture perfect, craft and teaching opportunities. And I finally said, outside, just go outside. I will clean the whole thing up myself, And I just remember being in there like, this is a mess. And I'm not even giving them the opportunity to help me clean it up because I don't think I can do it with them. It's not gonna happen. So that was a definite fail. There, but. Yeah. Something that's come
so familiar.
Up, I know. Well, something that's come up a few times, I just want to interject, that's both like one of the things that we love about homeschooling and something to like a benefit, but in this instance, like in my story, was also a major downside, is that all your children are at home and they're all together all the time, all day long. Mm-hmm. And so one of the great benefits of that is your kids are each other's best friends. Mm-hmm. They are each other's playmates and peers and That is the best. That is what you want for your children.
It is.
For each other to be who teaches and learns and encourages and, angers and frustrates and all that works together. But that happens every day. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge benefit and something we love and something we're really experiencing by pulling one of ours out. How much that changes, or and that would have happened at any point, like aging out at some point, but realizing just how great it is to have that. And then when you do these large craft things, my oldest is helping my littlest, or they're helping each other, or they're or they're antagonizing each other, and it's not going well. That's also a downside. But when homeschooling, that is something that is a big benefit that we really love.
And then when they're together, they're also like they're in their comfort zone, you know, so they can really be themselves. In their safe place of home.
That's an aspect of this that we haven't talked about. I mean, we're not going to go into it very deeply, but I'm glad you mentioned it, is socialization. There's a notion that's out there that children who are homeschooled don't socialize well, and that's just not true. If their parents are not very socially adapted, then the kids will struggle. But it's not because of schooling, it's because of the parents. Mm-hmm. But if their parents are socially adjusted, the kids will become socially adjusted, even if they're just with family, with a very few kids. You don't need 100 kids. Even if you're in a public school, you're not going to be friends with 100 kids. You're going to be friends with one or two or three. Mm-hmm. And so the same with a smaller group, homeschool mm-hmm. co-op, or they meet once a week in play days, or they mm-hmm. meet at church days and have time together. But socialization is more something parents train than the kids pick up from
Kids learn how to be comfortable with children of all ages instead of,
absolutely,
I have to be with my peers.
Right.
Very
good.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Very good.
They're not peer dependent.
Right.
They're able to talk to babies up to
adults.
Adults. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting to watch them engage. I love talking to y'all's kids.
And let me ask you, Donna, just because we're going to get mm-hmm. move on and wind up here, not to go too long, but I want to hear a story from you of a moment when you knew that you'd made a good choice to teach the kids at home, that something broke through and it's like, oh, it works, or it's mm-hmm. worth it, or I'm seeing it, I'm finally seeing fruit. Do you have a particular story?
Well, you know, I was telling them a lot of times you don't see things or you don't notice them until they're adults and they're succeeding and they're doing well and they're contributing to society and to the kingdom. And you see that all that effort was so worth that investment that you talked about. There are times when you'll see, like, they get awards for, like, Caleb with the International Science Fair, winning things like that. But mostly it's just watching them thrive in who they are and have confidence, and watching choices that they make that they want to learn, they want to continue to learn. Mm-hmm. They're lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. And they know how to do it, just like that mm-hmm. studying, you know, looking, finding the information. It's a skill. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids don't have that, so it's a blessing. But when they were young, I'm trying to remember, I guess times like where you see a breakthrough where they, all of a sudden, they really are reading. And you're just like, whoa! Yeah. They're learning how to read. Mm-hmm. And it was all those hours of sitting with them and showing them how to sound things out. It's a lot of work, but it's rewarding.
Yeah. Rachel, what about you? When did you get a breakthrough moment and you feel like, oh, it might be worth it?
Any time that I hear my children speak intelligently to someone besides, a grandparent or, someone they're talking to about something they love, you know, mm-hmm. like, or something I know we've studied or learned, you mm-hmm. know, like, so when they are able to share their knowledge mm-hmm. Well, then you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like it's stuck, like that's whatever good. That was stuck. Yeah. So I, that always feels like, okay, we're doing something right.
And it is the things that they go deep with that, that stick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the surfacey things that they're trying to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In our house, we often do schooling in the morning or during the daytime, and then we have dinner in the evening, and Nate, my husband, will ask, well, what did you guys learn or study? And he's a teacher both in skill, and he's been a teacher, mm-hmm. and so there is an ability he has to ask questions, mm-hmm. and it's amazing to watch. One, I thought I did a great job getting this through to them, and they really actually didn't get the concept. Mm-hmm. Or that it really sunk in, or what particular information, you know, mm-hmm. they grasped. And because anytime you can retell your information is when it's truly yours, you know it. Mm-hmm. And so getting to have this full circle, you know, most school days, is like, okay, we're going to cover that again, or, oh, they really got that. But mm-hmm. that, you know, that cycle mm-hmm. each day mm-hmm. is, I'm always like, okay, this is a sign of what we did today, where we're at.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Allie, do you have a
moment
to share?
So I, it's kind of the same thing, just when they have this aha moment of, I learned that, you know? And I think behind that is excitement and joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are doing botany this year, and my kids do not like it at all. I wanted to do it because I really wanted to. We've been gardening this year for the first time, and I just really wanted to learn about the nuts and bolts of plants, you know? Yeah. And so I'm like, girls, we're going to do this together. And they're like, oh, you know, they just don't like it. And so it's very, you know, it's a book, and it's kind of curriculum-y. And, but I'm like, we're going to do this anyways because mommy really wants to do this, and I'm excited about it, you know? And so the other day we were outside, and Lior pointed to a flower, and she goes, Mom, that flower was probably pollinated by a moth or a hummingbird because it doesn't have a landing pad, you know? And she's telling me all this information that we learned, and it's like, you do like it. But I guess like the moment of their excitement and my excitement, and we did this together, like we learned it together. Mm-hmm. And it's things like we're united together. And then all my other kids hear her talking about this, and then they start joining in and talking about it. And we're all having this exciting conversation about learning. Mm-hmm. And Adana, I love how you keep saying the love for learning, just instilling that love for learning in them. And when you see that, and you're partaking in it too, I guess. That's such a beautiful thing. Like when we're reading, and my kids will start having inside jokes about books that we're reading, you know, like Paddington and that silly face that he always makes me all have a face, you know. And I mean, there's just, it could go on and on. There's so many joys that come out of it. And yeah, it's just a beautiful thing to be able to walk alongside your kids. So.
Thank you.
And learn, because every subject's interesting now.
And each child has a different interest in different subjects. Yes. And so when you are fostering that into one child, the others are going to come along for that child's journey for a little bit, you know, like not to the depth that that kid is going to, but, you know, they're going to, it's reciprocal for each of the kids. And so there's this, there's a broader.
Like a contagiousness.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for your hard work. This is hard work. And I just can't cheer loud enough for moms who invest the energy, the time, the tears, the prayers, and the late night hours and all through the day snatches of time to try and figure out how to make it work and to do it in the midst of often pregnancy, nursing, caring for little ones. And all the other things that are just normal life stuff. So I don't know how you do it, but I do know you pull it off, and it's possible to be done. And you don't have to be a neurosurgeon level smart person to do it. Not that you're not intelligent, you guys are, but and your children can learn from you, and actually your children can perform better than you can perform once you give them those basic skills. You mentioned our son Caleb, who Donna does.
I'm not a science person, but I had a kid win at the international level in science fair in physics and engineering.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, well, I do. It was hard work. It was prayer. It was making the right choices. It was character building. Mm-hmm. And it was letting him take off in an area where he had an interest with mathematics and submarines and rockets. He just, and just building and tearing down and breaking stuff. And so, and toys. He used toys at home to create the things that actually won him scholarships and recognition, and he won an international award. And so, you don't have to have lots of money. You don't have to have lots of education yourselves. You have to have that heart and that commitment to do it, and you can get the tools. And so we're going to have a short list that you're going to help us with a short curriculum, suggestions, and ideas. You have really quick here. You brought a little bit, maybe some of your a favorite curriculum. You want to say something about anything real quick?
Well, we both, me and Rachel, apart from each other, we found this. And then we started kind of communicating that we were going through this. It's the story of the world and its history. And it's the story of the world. It starts at ancient, then it goes medieval, and then the next two, I'm not quite sure. There's
early modern.
Okay.
Yes. And we use it too.
I use it with my youngest three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it it just really tells a story, and so it's engaging, and
it's a narrative.
Thank you, Rachel. Yes, it's a narrative. So this is a beautiful, beautiful resource that I would, and you go through a cycle of 4 years of it, and you can keep going through the cycle if you choose.
Even if you don't homeschool, you will love reading this.
Yes.
And you can read it to your kids in the
evening.
They'll love history.
They will. It will, and it connects things in a timeline versus different incidents. So, like, you'll see what's happening in America and England and Asia or Europe all at the same time. You know, so you see it instead of like one country start to finish, it's the world. So there's, I have learned so much because history wasn't taught that way to me. It was very much just a, okay, here's early American history, and you know, these different chunks of things, and so.
It actually comes with a bunch of different books, but this one is really cool because it's got pictures that you can, they can color and draw while you're reading the story.
Yeah.
And what is really good about that is that it's, it kind of goes across different age levels. So you can do this with your first grader and your fourth grader, and you know, across the ages, and they can get different, and there's craft ideas and projects. We mummified a chicken last year.
Mummified it?
Yes. We buried it and made a tomb for it in our yard.
That's great.
So it was really fun.
It's full of so many ideas. And then as your kids get older, something that we used and liked a lot, there's those narrative questions at the beginning of each chapter. So it it pretty much gives you as the parent the prompts to ask your kids to retell the story, which is, like I said before, that is how they are learning it, and it's sticking.
Right.
But that's an important skill, to be able to communicate to anybody. And so this makes it very easy to do that.
Right, like it's an open and go. You don't have to think about it. You just open it up, and it's time to do the next thing. So,
so it's The Story of the World by Susan Wise Bauer.
There's four of them.
Yes, there's four of
Great
them.
Resource.
This is medieval, that's what we're, or middle ages.
And I'll make sure to add that, make sure that's included with the PDF that has a list of other resources, websites, and so forth.
Yeah. It's a good. Great one.
Thanks for bringing that.
The author was homeschooled.
Oh, okay.
Her mom was like a pioneer in homeschooling.
Great.
We actually have, they have recordings of them on CD, and so I'll just pop it in, and it's, I can't remember what that great narrator's name is, but he's...
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caleb listened to him. I listened to him while I was working. So, thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry we're out of time. I know we could go a lot longer. We're just getting really getting it.
Sunlight list of books. So many
but thanks a lot.
We'll put it, how about we put make a list that people can look at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll end it at the end. Great. So thank you so much. Okay. So thank you all for listening in on this Restoring Home. And until we meet again next time, may God bless you and your family.